by Mary Oliver. Every day I see or I hear something that more or less kills me with delight. That leaves me like a needle in the haystack of light. It is what I was born for, to look, to listen, to lose myself inside this soft world, to instruct myself over and over in joy and acclamation. Nor am I talking about the exceptional, the fearful, the dreadful, the very extravagant, but of the ordinary, the common, the very drab, the daily presentations. O good scholar, I say to myself, how can you help but grow wise with such things, such teachings as these? The untrimmable light of the world, the ocean's shine, the prayers that are made out of grass. I'd like to open it up today to a discussion, to teach from what is happening for you. But I also would like to just point out a couple things. So if you're walking down the street and someone says to you, "My, you have such a beautiful shirt on today. You look so beautiful. God, and your hair, you just look gorgeous." Just feel what that's like in your body. And now imagine walking down the street and you've just parked your car and somebody comes up to you and says, "You stupid idiot, I cannot believe you just came in and parked like that. Can't you drive?" Feel what that's like in your body. So what happened in those two things? What happened in to you? What was the experience? What's the difference?
Different part of the brain.
Okay. So what happens in your what's your actual experience? When somebody says, "You idiot."
I went into like fear and anger, like defense.
Mm-hmm. What would that
protection.
Feel like?
Yeah. Really.
Just started to defend and
close
to clench and then,
mm-hmm.
you know, just it's almost like this kind of very
mm-hmm.
aggressive counter thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can't just like let that come over. I mean, it's like, what am I going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Defending myself.
And what was it that got defensive? That got angry, that got tight.
Sense of self.
Yeah, the sense of I.
Right, okay, the sense of I. So where is that sense of I in that moment when someone says, "You idiot"? Where can you locate it? What is this sense of I in that moment?
To me, it's like this running dialogue. I'm not to blame. I didn't do anything. La 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 la
right.
la la.
And what is that sense? That sense of I that has to go la 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 to this person. Is it in your mind? Is it in your body? Where is it? What is this sense of I that you're talking about? That where there is so much energy going towards.
To me, it felt like the animal body or something. I don't know. So, I mean, there could be the whole mental part, but just pure I mean, I was just the idiot, but like went down deeper into something. I mean, it's the eye, but I don't know, something just about physical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So
survival.
Is it your body that tightens up with, is that where the eye is? Like it, when someone says that, is the, but would the body all on its own tighten up?
No, I think that if I saw it, the experience, it would be, I can't get the order, but I know that that dialogue would happen in the compounding heart, but I don't.
Right.
I think that it's.
Would it be happening just in the body? Or does it need something else? Okay, very good. Okay, so there's the body is just receiving. It's just receiving information. It's just like there's no. It doesn't have any judgment or idea of what to do. It's just, it's receiving and it's, you know, it's just here. So what does it need? What's happening? And you just named it, I think, right?
Needs a path.
Okay, and it needs this.
It's true though, because the person is aggressive or something energetically. Like I could see the body just defending itself out of fear.
It might
harm.
Be, but you haven't been. I mean, in this situation where someone's saying you idiot, there isn't. But so much of it is still learned from our mind, because there's something that wants to protect itself, and that's what we're trying to look at. Is that one that has the story. So it's the part that has the story that says, in that moment, you idiot. It's not this person saying, you idiot. What's the story? Fuck you.
Fuck you. So maybe the story is, and this is very rapid fire, of course, the story is, why the fuck are you attacking me? Because I'm a good person, and I try to follow the rules, and I don't drive like an idiot, and now you're calling me an idiot.
Right.
So
and
I have to defend that.
Yes.
So this whole structure you have inside, that I'm a good law-abiding person who tries to do things right in the world and be a good person in the world, but it just rapid-fire lashes out.
Yeah.
And then it does manifest in the body.
Exactly.
And I absolutely feel it in the body.
Exactly. Where is the one that says, I'm a good law-abiding citizen and I'm doing the best I can, blah, blah, blah. Where is that?
Left prefrontal cortex.
Right, exactly. That's where we locate where the story happens.
Yeah.
But what actually, like, is it something that you can touch? Can you grab it? Can you, the whole complex of the story. There is scientifically, you know, there is things that physiologically are happening.
It's the ego.
So there's this whole part that is developing this story that says, I am blah, 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 and you shouldn't and whatever, and then it's manifesting within the body.
For me, I just felt all this tension that just came up, you know, with the you're an idiot part. Just all this kind of tension around here, but I also think that for me, the ego is like an image. It's like I see my body, this body image appears in my mind, that, and then it's got these tensions and uncomfortable feelings in it, and that's what I say, that's me. So it's not so much a story.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure stories can happen after that, but my sense is that the first thing that happens is this image.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe the story happens first.
I'm going to guess that the image comes.
Bless you.
Thank you. Ah! The image comes from some sort of story that you formed about what's okay, what's not okay, and it is. It's rapid fire. It's happening just like this, and we think that it's so true, and we give so much energy towards this thing that we actually, so all these things are happening in the brain, but the thing of the eye, can we find it? Can we actually find it?
You can't find anything that is permanent or lasting. It's all just this shifting.
Right, that comes from past. Okay, so we've developed it from this past. If we had complete amnesia and somebody comes up to us and says, you idiot, we might...
Maybe I
am. Yeah, we wouldn't be like, we wouldn't, or whatever. But we might notice their tension and their this feeling. We might pick up in our body that, as you're saying, there's some sort of feeling that's like... But But I think it's worthy to look at how much time and energy that we put into this thing that we can't find. And this is what the whole teachings are about, that we put so much energy into defending this thing that we call I. When we don't, when we're actually in that sense of it, that takes a long time to dissolve, this sense of I. It will never go away. It will never completely go away. It's impossible. But it's more, how do we relate when it arises? Can we actually begin with time? And it takes a lot of practice so that when we're faced with something so charged, there's a new neural pathway that has been formed. So that in the moment, there is a way we respond instead of react. Talked about this a million times. The reaction comes because of this sense of defending this story that isn't even there. This story of what I am and how I should be treated. If we're not reacting from that place, then we can respond from a place of what? What are we responding from in that moment?
Heart, integrity, just
wisdom. Yeah, it's just
kindness.
Yeah, it's just from a lot from space. Like, what's appropriate?
Awareness.
Neutral,
and
exactly.
Awareness too.
Yeah. So much of it is right. I think you're really right on, is that sense of neutrality, that there isn't, there's a sense of like, that the heat is gone, you know?
Isn't that the fight or flight mechanism being triggered, what you're calling the heat?
Mm-hmm.
And my experience is that the self, the me, does go away occasionally. And
mm-hmm.
like everything else, it comes and goes. And
mm-hmm. What's that like when you say this? What's it like when the sense of self?
It's just like, you know, I could be you if I'm looking at you. Or it's like my awareness goes out bigger into all around, mm-hmm. and there isn't. There, when I look back for the me, there's really nothing there, because it just kind of does, the image, the body image or whatever, just dissolved, and
mm-hmm.
it's, and I do feel more open, more compassionate,
mm-hmm.
more like more vulnerable, all
mm-hmm.
that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, yeah, I think there are moments of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and I also think that there's if a strong emotion comes up, this idea of trying to do something to reduce the experience of it, and so this is so common with spiritual practitioners, this idea that somehow if I'm feeling a lot of fear or anger, that it's bad and that I'm not doing my practice right.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's the practice then becomes, in a lot of ways, like food, sex, exercise, internet, Facebook, whatever it might be, that takes you, that we do, to get away from what is arising. And it can be this subtle way that we think that we're doing the right thing because we're trying to achieve something, but it is instead a spiritual bypass.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's that absolute open acceptance that actually lets the storyline and the constriction relax. The more we practice this acceptance of what is arising in us, then we begin to respond to life instead of react to it. We spend so much time rebuilding the sense of self when the sense of self, when we're not thinking about it, isn't there. It's not there. So we spend a lot of energy in trying to build this up so that when somebody says, "You idiot," we go into fight. You know, we're going to fight or flee or freeze. Okay. Just a little something. Bless you. So I just open it up. for people to speak whatever wants to be spoken, where you are today, questions about anything.
That's what I think. What I think is something that's really confusing about Buddhism. There's all different kinds of Buddhism, of course, but where they tell you, well, there's antidotes for every negative emotion. Mm-hmm. And if you're feeling rage, mm-hmm. you should apply this meditation mm-hmm. or that meditation. So it cultivates this whole mm-hmm. idea that, you know, what you're supposed to do is get rid of these negative mm-hmm. emotions.
Right.
And then maybe 40 years later, you hear that, well, hell, you don't need to get rid of any of that stuff. Right. You just need to feel it.
Right.
So
just a little history. So two things about it is that if you look at where the sects of Buddhism, where that is really, really strong, go back into the cultures where that originated from. So a lot of that is strong in the Theravada.
Mm-hmm.
And I've practiced Theravada Buddhism for years and years and years, so it's just you have to look at how and where did that develop, and the cultures where those came from often were very which is interesting because Zen started in more like Japan, and Zen actually works a lot with what I'm talking about is allowing what is happening, but the form of the body took was the container where all this could arise, right? The other thing is that in Tibetan Buddhism, the beauty of the path. So we start with the Hinayana, and so much of the Hinayana is about when you I'm having one of those moments where I can't remember the word. When you give something up, you are and you refrain from something, you are renunciation. Thank you. Renunciation is such an important part of it because we're saying I'm actually going to renunciate the my normal habitual neurotic patterns for the teachings. Which, if you look at it from the whole picture, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's the same thing, but it's taught in a way that we look at all the anecdotes. But really, it's that we're renunciating something that is familiar to us to go back into, fall back into the teachings. Which, if we fall back into the teachings, we fall back into open space. But it's taught in a very kind of strict way because the human mind is so neurotic that it really helps when we have that platform so that hopefully it's not 40 years later, hopefully we're also learning about that there is nothing there and that all it is about accepting. But the problem is like I have seen so many traditions where non-dualism is taught right off the bat in a sense where it's all about acceptance. And I do not see the ground in most of the practitioners that come out of it. And so I think that a form and there's a very specific kind of path allows somebody to actually have that platform to rest in that awareness. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's always to me that it's not quite chicken and egg, but without the practice and the form initially, then the experience of space does not arise. So it's just like the elementary baby steps.
Mm-hmm.
And then that black and white, you know, application mm-hmm. recedes because there's so much more ability to hold.
Yep. All of it.
All of it.
Yeah.
So exactly. there's an understanding of where it serves,
mm-hmm.
how it's applied,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't have to be the only thing.
Yep.
It no longer is that thing.
Yep. Yep, exactly.
You know, it seems that, I mean, it's very clear, like, at least for me, like when there's something very, very negative that comes up, you know, not wanting to deal with it. But it doesn't seem like anything really different is happening there than when things are really, really good. In other words,
yeah.
You know, I'm like, oh, you know, this is yeah. me, and I'm mm-hmm. so proud of this, and la, mm-hmm. la, la. There's that kind of stuff going on. And then, you know, you get kind of upset, or there's some, mm-hmm. for me, it's conflict of some sort. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to feel this way, et cetera.
Right.
But it's just, I mean, you may be pushing or you may be pulling, but it's the same
yeah.
thing.
Oh.
And so in some ways, the kind of negative thing, or the thing like, you know, or disappointing thing or sad thing, is the thing that kind of just jars you out, because you can
yeah.
see that more easily than this,
yeah.
oh, this is so wonderful,
yeah.
everything's perfect,
right.
et cetera.
Right.
You can almost miss that there's this dialogue that's reinforcing
mm-hmm.
itself then.
Yeah.
Whereas the other, you're like, oh.
Yeah. Well, and that's why we say that the human condition is the portal. So the relative is the portal to the ultimate. We have to have the relative. We can't separate from that. Often it's taught that, so if there's a movie happening and there's a screen, the movie is happening on the screen, but the screen is not being affected by the movie. And this whole projection is happening on this screen, and this whole thing, it's part of it is, can we learn to really let our awareness rest on the screen?
Mm-hmm.
But who's going to pay, you know, $10 for awesome movie, you know what I mean? It's like
right.
we're gonna pay 20
right to get totally taken away by it. Exactly. That's why we love drama.
Yeah, totally.
We love drama. And oh man, the day that I realized that a big, big part of the journey of the spiritual path is the willingness to give up the drama. That freaked me out. Because I realized how that addiction towards wanting that drama. And it's like when you realize, it doesn't mean then that juiciness and, you know, wonderful things stop. But it's the way we work with them, that commitment to that goes away. Which means we can enjoy the movie that's being projected on the screen, but we're very aware of the screen.
Mm-hmm.
So both are happening. This movie is just part of this beautiful dance of being a human being. Fabulous. Good meals, good relationships, good sunsets, good swims, good lovemaking, you know, blah, blah, blah. And that it is all a projection onto this deep ocean of awareness that is back here, that is unfazed. So, does this make sense? Because it's that, it's not only, we're not witnessing it, but it's the awareness of awareness that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
It's the awareness of awareness. So all this display can happen, but this awareness of awareness is where we begin to bring our commitment to.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we practice. If we weren't practicing, we would be so caught up in the film that is being projected. And most of the time we still are. But that's what, when we stand up from our practice, the thing that I would love for everybody to really take into consideration is that when you stand up, it's not like meditation stops. It's the awareness of this sort of this deep ocean that we then stand up and we bring into our lives.
Mm-hmm.
We bring into our lives. That's why last time I talked so much about listening, because this idea of listening is the opening for me. It's that my way of remembering is this listening with my skin and my bones and my emotional body, listening to this to life, listening to the sounds, listening to my listening to the feeling of my emotions and my body, listening. That's another word we could say is tasting. You know, it's any whatever is right for you. I've been hanging out with Marlise de Gauchier, and she she talks about tasting, and we had this long discussion about the difference between tasting and listening, and it's really just the same thing. It's just our way of explaining it.
It's interesting you say, because touch has been mine more, because I think one day I was sitting like this, and I got this notion of watching with what I called my inner hands. I didn't know what else to call it. And I realized, my being aware of my inner experience, when it felt like it was from my inner eyes, like whatever that is, mm-hmm. The judgment is just very judgment laden. And mm-hmm. then when it was as though, what is my inner hands? I don't even know. But mm-hmm. being aware of experience from there, there actually isn't any judgment. And I was like, why didn't I throw this? And then I kind of wonder, is it a technique? I don't know what it is, but it's sort of where it's apprehending mm-hmm. is a little different, you know. Yeah. And somehow there's a lot more tenderness, with that, at least right now. Who knows? Mm-hmm. But that's interesting about tasting. I didn't even thought about tasting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we taste with our skin. And...
I think I found an interesting inquiry when you talk about, okay, pay attention to what's happening on the inside, and then now switch and pay attention to what's happening on the outside. Aja's wife, actually, I did a little thing with her, and she said, the question was, are you inside or are you outside? Mm-hmm. And when you try to find that, you can't really say.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Then you realize you're not really inside or outside, mm-hmm. you're just everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Right. Part of the egoic process of the I is to create a boundary between inside and outside, mm-hmm. and we'll do everything to protect what we think is inside.
Yeah.
And there isn't. Mm-hmm. And that's what's so... It's such a ridiculous thing, and yet it's... my God, do we put a lot of our energy into it. Ugh. Mm-hmm. What else is cooking? Cooking.
I think what you call listening, maybe I call it just a sense of being.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I have this kind of curiosity about, okay, this movie of me is playing on the screen of being,
mm-hmm.
but it's kind of like, it's so arbitrary. I mean, what other movies could be playing? This movie just starts and stops, and mm-hmm. sometimes it's fun, sometimes it's painful.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of like, I'm more interested in just sensing into the screen itself and seeing, what else could be. And I might see somebody else's movie, and that movie could start playing on my screen. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of mm-hmm. like this kind of interest and this fascination.
Mm-hmm. It's great. Stay fascinated.
Mm-hmm.
I liked that image of that screen. It just reminded me of something I read once, and it was talking about humans have no idea what reality is because we go around and we have our beliefs, and that's our reality. So it's like vanilla ice cream's the best,
mm-hmm.
and I can say that, and that means nothing to anybody else
mm-hmm.
if that's not what they think.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's that projection that you put out, and so I just think that's great because that helped me relate that
mm-hmm.
and be like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, like it's even subtle because.
Mm-hmm.
Like we talked once about how the ego likes to shift and play games, and
mm-hmm.
I was trying to play a game for a second where it was pushing on the back of the screen,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, that's still just part of the movie that's playing, it's not the actual
mm-hmm.
screen, so it's just an interesting line
mm-hmm.
where...
Yeah, so to deepen in that some, how do you know what is reality? No, there's a real answer to that though.
Oh.
How do you know what is reality?
I struggle with that.
Well, I think that the starting point would be with what is right here.
And how do you know what is right here?
Well, don't know.
It's a very simple physiological thing. Just it's like, through our sense perceptions.
So if you're in touch with that, then that's reality.
Reality is through our sense perceptions. There is, and that's why it's so incredible to have a human form. Because the way we experience the nowness of anything is through sight, sound, touch, and the awareness of that. So that's why the Mahamudra is such a beautiful teaching, because it focuses so much on sense perception and working with sense perception and letting the sense perception be what deepens us down into just pure reality. Anything we think about that is not pure reality.
So, Tori, along those lines, maybe this feeds into what I'm struggling with. So, living, having committed to this life of really being led by my sense mm-hmm. of what's reality, mm-hmm. you know, I'm fine on my own, but where I'm really struggling is like in the world right
yeah.
now.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Like, for example, last week my dad had triple valve heart surgery, oof. And I was in ICU with him for a week in New York City.
Oh, my gosh.
And, you know, it's just like, I feel like I'm this, like, wide open, emotional, vulnerable, alive, completely straight, you know, not using any substances, really committed to meditation, committed to health. And I had to take this into a New York City hospital, and it was just like, I realized I got back Friday, and I had to just completely, to handle ICU, mm-hmm. I just like shut down, mm-hmm. you know? And I'm wondering, like, what's been happening for me the last year is like, how do I be in this world? Because I find myself a lot of times just like, I'm really okay in nature, mm-hmm. but I don't really feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. And it's not getting easier, because right. when I was totally neurotic, right. and mm-hmm. you know, totally insane and busy yeah. and doing and yeah. trying to be the best athlete, you yeah. know, I like fit in.
Yeah.
And now I feel like a foreigner, you know. Yeah. I just feel yeah. like such a
yeah.
what's the word? Beyond foreigner, like a Martian.
Yeah.
like a Martian. And then when I go to parties and stuff, I feel even more like a Martian, yeah. where I used to be like this extrovert, you know? So it's,
yeah.
I don't know, I'm really not mm-hmm. sure how to...
Yeah, it's such a great question. It's such a great question.
Sorry, I just said so much.
No, I'm so glad really because I'm sure we all can understand. And, you know, it's often the question of like, God, I've studied this for so long. Why am I not enlightened? Why can't I, you know, why is this so hard? You know, and how do I relate yeah. with the world?
I think it's going to be. I don't feel like enlightenment's a place yeah. I'm going to get to. I just...
No, you already are. There's nothing exactly. to get to. There's nothing to happen. There's nothing that has to change.
I mean, I'm
it's
just so,
so ordinary.
For this tribe,
yeah.
but it feels pretty lonely, you know?
And it is, on one level, it is so incredibly lonely.
Yeah.
And on another level, again, that's the ego saying that we're somehow separate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah.
But I will just yeah. say yeah. that, of course, going into ICU with your father, having surgery like that in New York for you yeah. and where you are in the world
yeah.
will be whatever it is,
yeah, yeah,
whatever
yeah.
it was. And so I think instead of asking the question, how do I do this, it would be to stay moment to moment in the actual experience that is arising without the story of how it should be.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
it's like the world saying, you idiot, you know, you idiot, why you didn't park
yeah.
your car. It's like, oh, there's all this impact. But the reason why we're being impacted is because of some story about how we think it should be.
Yeah.
If we can meet that moment to moment to moment and meet the part that wants so badly for somehow us or it or them or something to be different. That's the part that we have to, is to really let ourselves feel the grief,
mm.
the longing, the discomfort. Let ourselves be open and accepting of that.
Yeah. Compassion helped a lot. Just
yeah.
keep coming back to that.
Yeah.
Know, like sitting there all day
yeah.
needing compassion
yeah.
for myself and
yeah.
for...
Yep. Yeah. And the sense of what I do is just a sense of like just opening my body up to the whole calamity.
Yeah.
Just letting myself like, yes, this too. yes, this is so hard.
You know, there was one doctor, I just have to tell you, this guy, he was incredible. He was like a doctor nurse guy. He was a nurse at the time. He wasn't working as a doctor but at that moment. But he said, we were talking, and I said, I'm from Colorado, and I spend a lot of time outside. And he goes, well, I was there, and this is my new jungle. And then he started to talk about how ICU and like New York City is like this environment that's like as natural and wild as the
only, totally.
You know, it's this environment
yeah.
that he doesn't know anything is wild as like Colorado
yeah.
and that
yeah.
and it was really helpful.
Really helpful.
So like the next day I walked in and I'm like, this is cool nature.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Exactly.
Jungle. You know?
Exactly.
Oh,
that's
like I had needed a reframe.
Yeah.
You know?
Totally.
Like, oh, this is cool.
That's
yeah.
what we mean when we say we're like looking over here. And if we just sort of just barely change our gaze, a whole new world
yeah.
opens up. And that's the place where it's like remembering that this, when we're here, we've gotten very tight around the sense of I. But when you suddenly realize that this was wild and this is like totally this different kind of wildness, the
yeah.
sense of I loosened up.
Mm. Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a big gift.
Yeah.
Thanks, Tori.
Yeah.
Practice.
Yeah, my pleasure. It's time to stop and think about if there's anything else I want to say. I have some announcements, but let's close. Oh, so we dedicate this time together and this journey and our in and out of awareness, our vast openness, the screen and the movie. We dedicate all of this to the benefit of all beings. We're so intimately, so inseparably connected to. Yay. So, a couple of things. One is I am